Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. This week, I'm back after sickness last week. So I'm back. I'm ready to go. And as usual, I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, joined by my other co-host, Jonty Ralph-Smith. Jonty, in the AFL sense, I'm much happier this week as I'm a Carlton, you're a Collingwood supporter. But in the under 18 sense, I am repping it this week. I thought I had to. It's our first time in 2 years we've been you. But how was your weekend? A lot of under 18s footy. We're going to talk a bit about the APS that you saw on the weekend. Yep. Girls, reps. So, yeah, how was your weekend of football?
Yeah, no, really good. It was fun getting out to an APS game. Halebury Caulfield, both teams coming in 8-0 and a really interesting game of footy. Halebury ultimately able to get up by 8 points. And then on Sunday, got to watch a few Vic Country girls who we've seen show some glimpses in the talent league, really put their names forward and stamp their mark as some of the better players to watch in this year's and next year's draft class. So good weekend of footy overall. Also plenty of talent league to wrap up as well.
For sure. Well, just a bit of an overview of this pod. We're going to start with the Vic Country Queensland game for the girls, go into the talent league boys review. We're going to talk about the under-16s national championships for Vic Metro and Country and just give a bit of overview of the talent that performed well in those championships, and then as usual finish up with our tips and predictions for the next round of Talent League boys. But let's start from the top. Vic Country and Queensland. Queensland were too powerful in the end and they got up by 40 points, but 30 points, sorry. But it was Vic Country were competitive. I think we both thought it would be a bit bigger margin than what it really was. We know how talented Queensland have been, especially with their respective academies, Brisbane and Gold Coast. They've seemed to perform really well when they've played in the talent league this year. So they've definitely had the talent. And Ava Usher, wow, that was... And I didn't realise until a couple of days ago she's only 15 years old. So that's quite freakish that she probably goes easily top five in this year's draft if you put her in there now. So she was extremely impressive for Queensland. But let's talk about Vic Country girls. We'll start with one that I know you've been big on from earlier in the season, Ali Simmons. Played really well in the ruck, 16 hit-outs, 6 clearances. Her tackling pressure was fantastic. What was your analysis of her game in the end?
Yeah, Ali Simons, a really impressive Dandenong Stingrays ruck, like you said. But it wasn't just the ability of her to win some hitouts against a really highly regarded opponent, but then her ability to get on and in the action at ground level was really impressive. Like you said, 6 clearances, and a few of those were her just bursting away from a ruck contest, taking the ball and really advancing the ball forward. She was able to bring her teammates into it as well. So she was able to get a little bit of run and gun and then bring her teammates into it. So that leg speed that she has and that game awareness is really impressive for someone her age. And yeah, to be able to adapt that talent league form to the next level, I thought was really impressive, particularly for someone her age. And we know she's probably not going to be a ruck at the next level. So she's shown she can almost play as that sort of big-bodied mid and can also take some marks. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what the rest of the championships hold for her. I guess a teammate of hers from local level or from talent league level, or a couple that touch on as well, Michaela Williamson, 14 disposals, just provided a little bit of leg drive out of midfield, as we know that she can do at Stingray's level. And I was also really impressed with Gemma Ramsdale. Only the 8 disposals, but obviously being a defender, that's not as important. But it was a couple of things she did when her team was conceding goals in the third quarter that really caught my eye. They conceded 5 goals in the third quarter, Vic Country, a couple of those from soft 50-metre penalties and similar things like that. And what she did after a couple of those goals just brought the back line together and just calm them down to try to reset. Unfortunately, the game probably got away from them. They just conceded a couple too many. But I thought that leadership element, which I know, speaking to the Dean and on coaching staff, they're so high on, was really on display from afar. And no doubt the girls in that back line would have benefited from her. But yeah, who else caught your eye?
Well, go touch back to another bottom major that sort of, we knew her potential and what she's done at the Falcons, averaging, you know, 40 touches a game and 24 touches, Sarah Howley. 24 touches for Vic Country, 4 tackles, 5 clearances. Super impressive, really. I mean, there was no gap between her talent league footy and then going up to this level. It was translated so well. Just really tough at the contest, really clean hand. She kicked a really good goal in the last quarter to seal off a really impressive start to her championships.
Yeah, she did. And also started on the wing and spent a fair bit of time on the wing with the top eight players, I guess, being prioritised from a midfield sense. So she showed that she was able to play a different position and added a different string to her bow. I'll be interested to see what we see from her next year. We've seen this year how well she plays midfield. And we also know that she's going to play midfield for the rest of the year. That's the word out of the Falcons. So maybe next year there's some opportunity for her to expand her scope. I think the best player on the day pretty clearly was Ash Centra. Yeah. That second quarter, she absolutely lit it up. 2 goals, 2 and 4 inside 50s in total. She had a goal assist later in the game as well. Her contested marking, her ability to get to the right spots and not only score, but really she was a real presence inside 50. And I think she was the only one that had that real presence. And it felt like when the ball was coming in to Vic Country's forward 50, if it was going in Ash Central's region, you knew something was going to happen. If it was not around her, then, you know, it was a little bit of slim pickings. But she was one who justified her selection as a bottom major and justified all the hype that surrounded her for a couple of years.
Well, for sure. It was good to see her get a great run for Country, because she's been showing that at Gippsland level, I guess, with the talent. The delivery inside 50 hasn't suited her as well, but I think we saw that at Country that when it suits her, she knows how to be very dominant. She just gets goal side really well, and her positioning is what enables her to get such good shots on goal. Even when she moved up the ground, her kicking inside 50 was really strong. Some powerful leads. So, yeah, I agree. It was a really fantastic game from her. And I'll move to one more Gippsland, a teammate, Amber Shute. Really composed out of the back line, calm with her disposal. It was a nice game for her, even though the commentator struggled with her last name. But
yeah,
besides that.
13 disposals, 4 tackles, 4 rebound 50s. So not only was she a cool head in defence, which we've seen she can do at Gippsland level, but she was also someone who could provide a little bit of drive out there. Jess French did it a little bit as well. Bianca Lyon was also important in that back line. I thought in the last quarter and a half had a really key role in keeping Dakota Barron a little bit quieter, and that was crucial given that Dakota Barron was so dangerous throughout the day. They actually kept Queensland goalless in that last quarter, and you know, you do wonder if Bianca Lyon didn't have that matchup, whether that would have occurred through the midfield. One who really impressed me a little bit of a smoky or a dark horse that I didn't know as much about, wasn't in the initial Vic Country squad, but has played a really good first couple of months or so of the season, is Tyler Crabtree. 19 disposals and 4 tackles. Just really tenacious and hungry for the ball. And her follow-up was also really impressive. And that's probably why she was able to get her hands on the footy so much. Her work rate as well, it seemed like every time there was a contest or a stoppage around the ground, she was somewhere there or thereabouts.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. And she brought in pretty good form from the Rebels into this Vic Country series. And for sure, she'll build on it. She's one that the potential is definitely there. It's really getting the execution now, and she's shown her second efforts are fantastic. If she's not getting it the first time, she'll work to do those little one percenters, and that's something about her game. I guess from going forward, players who had an almost day, had some moments, Lila Keck kicked the first goal but was a bit quieter after that, just couldn't really get her hands on the footy. And same with Chantelle Mason. Had some pretty good positioning, good second efforts, I think she did kick one in the end, but just again, a day for those two forwards that just weren't able to execute and get their hands on the footy as much. But we know the potential's there, and they should stand out in one of their last two games. Should mention there's only 3 games for the girls. So compared to the boys, they've got 4. Vic Country play Metro in 2 weeks, and then they play WA the week after. So they've got 2 more games to go. I think we've covered all our bases there, unless there's others.
I guess the other couple, probably just another pair of Geelong Falcons girls, Chloe Adams, 13 disposals and 5 tackles, I thought had a really important role throughout the day, and Safer White, with 10 disposals and 5 tackles, had some really impressive moments. Keely Fullerton and also a game-high 5 marks and 10 disposals. Thought we saw the best of her on the day, so she's played some reasonable footy up and down, I guess, a little bit for Bendigo, but she has been in a struggling team, so it was good to see her stand up when the country did have a little bit of ascendancy. Now, we'll move on to the Halebury versus Caulfield game. I watched this one, and yeah, it was a serious comeback from the Bloods. They were down by as much as 33 points before they stormed home, kicking the last 6 goals of the game. It was chock full of draft prospects, and Mitch Kirkwood score brought the absolute house down with a goal from 60 with 3 minutes to go to put Halebury in front. And then Liam George, the Eastern Rangers draft prospect, was able to kick another one really late to put paid to any thought of Caulfield fighting back. But yeah, I guess some players who stood out that are on talent league lists. Charlie Harrop was probably the best on the day for Halebury. I thought he's the captain and had a really influential first quarter, hit the scoreboard right at the start of the fourth quarter to give his team a lot of belief, and then did something really smart in that last quarter where he just sort of kicked it to space going forward with a couple of minutes to go, which led to a boundary throw in and obviously gave Halebury the territory they needed. But his marking and his work rate throughout the day was really impressive. And yeah, that was probably the main talent league listed players from Halebury stood out. Tyron Armu, an under-16s Dandenong Stingrays player, also did some nice things. And then Mitch Cook, in the midfield, and Max Poulios down back. If you look beyond talent league, from a Caulfield perspective, Nick Watson kicked 3 of their 7 goals. Ollie Murphy took some really nice intercept marks. Murphy Reid was reasonably impressive through the midfield. And Justin Crocker has been okay at Sandringham level, probably hasn't shown his best. Would have taken 6 or 7 really impressive marks, actually, and probably the best I've seen him play by a fair margin. Unfortunately, only able to kick the one goal, but gave them a lot of vitality up forward. So they were the main ones from a Caulfield perspective, who also had the likes of Ollie Warburton and Jasper Alger and these sorts of players in their team, Noah Uze. So plenty of talent league players out there, Taj Houghton, Archie Roberts, Josh Docking, a few others. So yeah, it was a really high standard game, and yeah, Halebury deserving winners in the end for that last quarter fight back.
There we go, and now we'll move to round 14 of the talent league for the boys. So there was a bit of a gap. There's about 3 weeks in between games, so now they're back and they'll play pretty much every week now until the end of the season. There's a round this week, then a break, then all the school boys come back, and then it's last two rounds and wild card and finals. So full on pretty much from now till the end of the season. But we'll start with the first game of the round. Calder defeated Dandenong 12-13-85-7-9-51. And a result, I tipped Calder, you tipped Dandenong. This probably could have gone either way. Like probably two teams that were expected to be pretty even, but Calder really got on top. I'll start with the Calder players that impressed. And one that I've been pretty big on keeping an eye on is Noah Scott. He's a bottom major that probably hasn't got the recognition compared to some of the other bottom ages when you look at in this team with Nguyen, Kim, Hollowbaum. Like, he's one that sort of slips under the radar a bit. But he was really good. 24 disposals, 7 tackles, 4 inside 50s. Just a real strong competitor that knows how to drive the ball forward. He's just powerful. He's a bit smaller for a midfielder, but he's got the size on him and he's able to break through the contest really well and get the ball inside 50. So he was really impressive. Nguyen, 35 touches, doing what he usually does on the wing. We know how impressive he is. Hollow, 9 inside 50s, 2 rebound 50s, and 34 touches. So big day for him. And then Charles Bolmat, 25 touches, 4 tackles. And it's the bottom ages that are absolutely standing out for Calder right now. And it's actually pretty similar to what Dandenong, what we saw with them last year, where it was dominated by, then 05 kids. But yeah. They're just dominating at the moment. So that's from a Calder perspective.
Yeah, and you've mentioned some of them, and you can even expand it out. Harry O'Farrell and Isaac Kaka are probably the two best. And then to think you've also got Jaden Ewan and like you say, Nash King, Noah Scott, Charles Bolmer. It's an impressive crop for Calder and good times around that club. From a Dandenong perspective, you talk about bottom ages. Harvey Langford, really impressive again, kicked 3 goals and got plenty of the ball in the midfield. And Billy Wilson, the other one to touch on, he got 27 disposals, spent a little bit of time in the midfield. And it was probably a game that we really wanted to see from him after a quieter championships. We know how well he started the talent league season. Cooper Simpson was back and was quite neat with his ball handling, given he has missed such an extended period. 18 disposals, I expect that'll just be a nice little platform for him and he'll build on that in the last 6 weeks of the season. And Kobe Shipp back to his more native halfback position. Moving on to Murray and Eastern, if we start with the Eastern players, because they had a big win over the Bushrangers, 17-12-114 to Murray, 4-11-35. Christian Moraes, 43 disposals and a goal. He's been impressive throughout the season as a skinny sort of bottom-aged midfielder. And once he puts a little bit of size on, I think he's one who'll really thrive at the next level, just with that ball finding ability and his ability to win clearances. Caleb Windsor, after a strong championships, goes back 21 disposals and a goal, which is what you want to see. And then Riley Weatherill was the one who really stood out. 4 goals, 3 and 9 marks. So we know he only got the one opportunity through the national championships and didn't really show what he could do, but he's gone back, taken a slew of overhead marks and really impressed inside 50. And then the 4 goals, 3 was probably more product of a couple of difficult misses, but to generate 7 scoring opportunities off his own boot is really, really impressive. And Isaac Tanzamasoa, a small forward who didn't play at the start of the season, but showed plenty in pre-season, kicked 5 goals, 4 and got 18 disposals. So when they got it forward, there was someone at the feet of Weatherill who was able to capitalise when he wasn't taking the marks. And Weatherill is able to, yeah, put his name firmly where it needs to be to start this block at the end of the season post-championships.
Yeah, and from a Murray perspective, pretty much the usual suspects that got on top, but, yeah, pretty heavy loss. Darcy Wilson, 29 touches, 4 inside 50s, 2 rebound 50s. Kobe James, pretty dominant with his inside 57, inside 50s in the end and 25 touches. Connor O'Sullivan, inaccurate in the end, 0, didn't kick a goal, but 3 behind. So one of those days, they did kick 4-11 Murray and Easton kicked 12 behind. So conditions could have affected it a little bit. And Gothard got on the scoreboard, 21 touches. So he's ticking along nicely. We know what he's capable of. So, yeah, not to be for Murray. And I did back them. I thought Easton would suffer from school footy, really. And I thought Murray would have the home advantage. But we know they can turn it on Murray, so they've got the potential. We'll move now to Gippsland Northern, a game you know about, Jonty. Gippsland got up 12-5-77 to Northern 5-13-43, which is only Northern's second loss of the season, which is incredible to think because they have a lot of talent. And, yeah, Gippsland, we didn't expect Gippsland to get up in this one, but they did. So tell us about that game, Jonty.
Yeah, Gippsland had a really strong start. Then Northern kicked 5 of the first 6 goals of the second half to draw it back level. And then they spent all their batteries catching up. So then Gippsland were able to kick away with the last 6 goals of the game. But a couple of really interesting matchups in this one. Archer Reid played on Christian Mardini. We know Archer Reid's a top 30 prospect and Christian Mardini a Vic Metro defender. So Reid, 4 goals he kicked, but Northern was really impressed with the way that Christian Mardini played. And I think the consensus was that Mardini probably did beat him in a couple of crucial one-on-ones and perhaps had the better of him. Archer Reid got a couple of goals from free kicks and on the ground and that sort of thing. But Mardini was generally able to push him away from the drop zone. He also rotated through the ruck, Archer Reid, and got 6 hit-outs. But the real ruck battle that everyone was interested in was Lockie Smith versus Will Green, the Vic Country versus the Vic Metro ruck. And Lockie Smith actually won that one convincingly. He was just too combative for Will Green. Not only did he win the hit-outs 19-16, which sounds pretty even, but his hit-outs were more effective from all reports. He actually got a lot more of the ball around the ground and was also able to take some marks and really use his size to impose himself on the contest. So Lockie Smith, 25 disposals and 6 marks versus Green, 7 disposals and 1 mark. We know how important it is in the modern game for rucks to be able to impact around the grounds. Xavier Lindsay and Lane Ward, both good on the inside. And then a couple of under-16s Vic Metro / Vic Country players who debuted. Mitch Moat looked comfortable in the forward half. 1 goal, 2, 4 marks and 8 disposals. And Willem Dersma, there's been so much hype around him. He got 14 disposals, took the kick out, so the high-pressure kick, and was able to execute them and finished with 14 disposals. So a nice start to his talent league career. Finished with a game-high 8 rebound 50s, or a team high 8 rebound 50s rather, for the Gippsland Power. Moving on to Western and Sandringham. Sandringham won this one 9-18-72 to 4-12-36. I'll start with a couple of Western players that played well despite the result. Lockie MacArthur, one who I've been high on throughout the season, took 10 marks, including several intercepts and contested marks. So 24 disposals, but playing in the back half, he's usually playing as that third tall type of player inside 50 and able to kick goals. But having been interrupted a little bit by school footy, he goes to pegs. He has come back and he's actually been able to show that he's got another string to his bow. So really impressive, reads the ball really well and has a good leap at it. Logan Morris kicked 3 of the 4 goals for Western. I think you said that Sandy had a really good matchup for him. Yep. Nathan, so do you want to tell us about who played on Logan Morris?
Yeah, so Adrian Cole got the job on Logan Morris. And Logan Morris, he kicked 2 goals that were sort of easier ones. I guess in the air he battled really well and beat him most of the time. He's an 06 prospect that is linked with St Kilda's NGA. I mean, another one, an 06 prospect with linked to St Kilda's NGA. Lenny Hoffman had a shoulder injury in the preseason, but he's coming back into form as that third tall defender and showcased his intercept marking on the day. I guess the big performance was Levi Ashcroft, 36 touches and 2 goals. We know what he can possess. And Brisbane are extremely lucky, to, in all honesty. Yeah. So they've got two really talented players just coming into their team. Will Brown, 25 touches and 1 goal. He's getting back into form after that ankle injury that sort of hindered his national championships a bit. You could tell it was affecting him a little bit, yeah. But now he's getting back into that form again and using his legs really well, getting that burst out of the stoppage. Ethan Williams, one to talk about. So I saw the stat line, 7 inside 50s, which is unusual for him in that halfback role, but he did play on the win and played really, really well for his first time in that position and moved the ball forward really well with his kicking inside 50. We know that can be a weapon of his. So, yeah, those were the main ones from Sandy, and Lockie Voss comes back into the team after injury from he hasn't played since round one against Eastern, and there's similar traits there with what Sandy have done with Ollie Murphy. So just one to watch in that space. So,
certainly.
Yeah, that's from the Sandy perspective. And I'll finish with the last game of the round. GWV convincingly beat Geelong 17-14, 116, 6-6-42. So GWV have a little bit over Geelong in terms of that matchup. They've beaten them twice this year. And this was a game in Warrnambool, which is the first time they've been back there since 2014. So it's been 9 years. So really good for a couple of those Warrnambool boys like Lamont Mawal and George Stevens. And I'll touch on them. George Stevens, 36 touches, 1 goal. I mean, he's been so dominant since that Dandenong game. And I don't think he hasn't really been off ever since. Lamont lapped up everything off half back, but he did move into the midfield for a part of the game, which was good to see. It's just a bit of a positional change and played pretty well in the midfield. So it'll be interesting to see if he does get a bit more time in the back end of the year moving into finals. Jonty Fall, 2-4, one that deserves a good mention. Just was dominant on the scoreboard, but probably could have been a bit more accurate. And Reece Unwin, 3 goals, 17 touches, just really dangerous inside 450. And sorry, one more, can't forget, 5 goals, Connor Byrne. He's one that's come into form, just had a bit of a struggle in the middle of the year, but footy's that coming back into that main focus, and he's been really dominant. 5 goals this week, 3 the week before. And from Geelong, Joe Pike, 35 hitouts, so pretty dominant in that ruck position. And we know he's got to have a pretty big end to his season, given his national championships weren't as good as he would have hoped. Rudd, 2 goals, moved further up the ground, 6 inside 50s. Malachi White, 25 touches, 1 goal, 6 tackles. And then Pat Hughes, 25 touches, and was good on both ends, 5 inside 50s and 4 rebound 50s. And that leaves us with the ladder. So a bit more development in the ladder. And I love keeping stats with the ladder and, you know, possibilities, etc. There are 4 teams who cannot progress into the top 3. So the way the boys works is top 3 go to the first week of finals, 4 to 13 play a wild card round. Murray, Oakley, West and Dandenong have secured a wild card spot, so they can't make finals in the sense. Sandy only need 1 win to get a top 3 spot in their last 2 games. And then Tassie, Northern, Calder, GWV, pretty much battling out for the last 2 top spots, you would think. So that's pretty much the development from the boys. Yeah, sorry, I will go through the ladder. Sandy, Tassie, Northern, top 3. Calder, Rebels, 28. Eastern, 24. Geelong, Bendigo, Dandenong, Gippsland on 20. And then Western, Oakley, Murray to round out the ladder.
Yep, no, well summed up. We're going to go to an overview of the Vic Metro and Vic Country under 16s players. They had their carnival earlier this month or last month. Now we've ticked over to August. I'll start with just a few of the country players that impressed, then I'll throw to you to speak about Vic Metro a little bit. But from a country perspective, Job Scapen, a Gippsland Power product, he won the Bartram Medal, which is a medal awarded for players who live out the actions in terms of off-field that are expected of the Vic Country players. So really high-end character, and that's been spoken about Gippsland for a couple of years. He proved that. He's an outside running mid, a good user, and played particularly well against WA. Willem Dersma, we talked about the hype around him, obviously got his talent league debut on the weekend, but played as a high-running defender for Vic Country. His good kicking was on display. He's clean in the in the on the ground, cleaning the air, and he was also the skipper, so he got their MVP. So really solid for from a couple of the Gippsland boys. Tyrone Amu, who I touched on before, got better as the carnival went on, using his weight in all three key position areas, key forward, key back, and also through the ruck. So he's one who's got a lot of upside with his size. Toby Cinema had some good moments, a Dandenong Stingrays player throughout the carnival. He's an outside mid, a left footer who runs really good patterns and uses it well. So he's given himself a good platform going forward. And Noah Hibbins-Hargraves was probably seen as the best player outside of Willem Dersma throughout the championships. High pressure forward who's good overhead. He's really coachable and can play a lot of positions. So he's one to keep an eye on. Hits the scoreboard regularly and is one who I expect will get some talent league minutes as a bottom major next year.
Sure. I'll touch on the Vic Metro. So Jack Dalton, he was the MVP for Vic Metro in the end. He was also their captain, just a great leader and one of those players that is a total professional at this age already and obviously has those goals set. And he was terrific, covers the ground exceptionally and just really good high-end performances in all his game. His work rate was terrific in all of them. Lewis Emmett, a mid high-end ruck, makes really good impact around the ground, not just in the ruck contest, just moves around the ground really well. Hit the scoreboard in both the Queensland games and just his spread post the ruck contest is something that stands out. Oliver Greaves, forward, mainly played in the midfield but had that rotation up forward. Really big body midfielder. Didn't rely on his strengths, just good fundamentals in the end that really brought him through the championships really well. Archie Ludewick, we saw what he was capable of in that first game in the Victorian Derby. Really good marks, really good forward craft, just learning how to use his strength now and that spatial awareness is really there, knows how to win those one-on-one contests. Lockie Doverston, inside mid and forward, really just good high-end speed and power, good meters game player, and just was able to showcase his speed on the Queensland decks where a bit bigger and longer wins. So he was really good there. And then the two last ones, Xavier Bammert, we saw a bit of him, just a bigger body midfielder that can impact the scoreboard. And then Xavier Taylor, another one to watch, a defender, really solid, good aerial power and a good intercept defender. So one, just a couple to watch there, but, you know, as a disclaimer as always, there's a long time to go with these boys, so it's always glimpses. And I'll throw it to you now. A last little segment before we go to our tips. Players to keep an eye on for the boys going to the end of the season, and we touched on this a little bit recently just in terms of who came out of the championships that needs a big end to the season, but I'll throw it to you first. Who are your main ones that need to lift, no, not necessarily lift, but just need to have a big back end to ensure their chances are as good as they can be and they don't slip under the radar completely?
Yeah, so I've gone a combination of players who did make the national championship squad in their region and a couple that didn't, but are still firmly in calculation. So Will Dawson, one who was probably a little way back before the championships, had a really strong end to the championships, playing as a key defender. What can he do at Gippsland? Can he maintain that form as a key defender? Be interesting to watch. Tobin Murray missed out on the Vic Country squad, but a really high-end running winger. His aerobic capacity is ridiculous if you watch him. I think he's still in draft calculations, but needs to have a big end to the season to keep himself there because there were probably a couple that have overtaken him now. Riley Weatherall had that really big game on the weekend and probably needs a couple more of those to keep himself around the mark. Phoenix Gothard, a little bit of a wild card who put his name firmly in calculations but needs to continue that form and show a sustained, consistent block. Billy Wilson, again, we talked about him before. He's able to show a lot of speed off halfback. He'll get some time through the midfield, so what can he do? Tom Hannerley didn't get in for Vic Country. Played some good school footy and every time he's played for Gippsland been really good, but needs to make sure he capitalises when he does get some back-to-back games for Gippsland. Obviously been interrupted with school footy, as we say. Miles Ender's the same, been interrupted with school footy, been interrupted with a groin injury. Once he gets some games for Sandringham, there's so many players of a similar size to him as that sort of really good mark. What can he do to give himself a point of difference? And Cooper Simpson, who only played a half of the four games of the championships because of Corky, came back on the weekend, 18 disposals. He needs to make sure, I think he gets drafted regardless, but to make sure he goes where he deserves to go, which is top 10, top 15, he'll want a big finish to the season, but he probably does slip a little bit now just given that injury there. The main players, and probably Sam Frangalis, is still there or thereabouts. It was probably seen as a surprise to miss out on that Vic Country squad. And yeah, we'll have to keep a close eye on him, though he did miss on the weekend. From your perspective, Nathan?
Yeah, well, I'll actually add, we did post on our socials the best 22 to miss out in the National Championship. So make sure to check that out, actually. It's a nice little graphic that gives a bit of appreciation to the kids who are still pushing pretty well. Two that I'll just add, Josh Tovey. I love what I've seen from him at Eastern. And I guess moving into finals, it's, you know, defence wins your premierships in that sense. So if you can have a really big back end to your year in the finals, and the deeper you get, the better you're playing against in theory. So there's a lot to work with Josh Tovey. He knows how to win the ball, but his issue has been he'll let his opponent sort of get away from him in order to go and get the flying ball that's coming in. So it's that getting that balance right. I think there's a lot of potential in him. Be interested to see how he goes. And then the last one, Kelsher Deer. I'm very interested to see where Kelsher sort of lands come the end of the year. We know how impactful he can be. He's really just, he's clean at ground level as well for a taller forward, and he hits the scoreboard. So, you know, with forwards, it's just a matter. They've just got to keep him in the scoreboard. There is the pressure there, but I think he's up to it, and he's shown his capabilities all year. So
those are
the players to keep an eye on come the back end of the season, and we'll keep talking about them as the rounds go on. So it's now tipping. Round 15 tips for the boys. We start with Oakley and Eastern on the Saturday. I think this will be very competitive. Oakley, we know their season hasn't gone to plan necessarily, but I think they'll want to go into the last couple of rounds in some really strong form, because you'd have to admit they're probably the dark horse in the whole competition if it comes to the end of the year. I'm hard to not back Eastern after their big win. The smaller ground, I reckon this will be high scoring. Don't know about you, but I think this will be a bit high scoring. I'll go with Eastern.
Yeah, and I'll back the Rangers as well. I'm just looking forward to seeing what the likes of Windsor and Wetherill and these sorts of players can do.
Northern Knights and GWV at Preston City Oval. This will be a fantastic game, in my opinion. I think these two teams will match up very well against each other. I think this is the second time they've played against each other from memory. I can't even remember who won the first game, but I think now it's hard to pick with these two. Northern at Preston are very hard to beat. I don't think they've lost there this season. So I'll go with Northern, but I mean, I think it'll be a cracking game.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with GWV. You talked about Lamont Lawal running through the midfield. Be interested to see if that happens again. They've obviously got Lockie Charles and George Stevens in really hot form. I think they've just got a good depth there as well, with some 06 players playing well too.
Gippsland and Bendigo, this one's at Shepley. So playing in Dandenong, a good opportunity to watch the two country teams battle it out against each other. Gippsland, a pretty impressive win against Northern. Always good. It's always impressive to beat a team that has dominated most of the season. And then Bendigo, they've had their patches of form this year, and I think it's a matter of just bringing it all together now. I'd probably lean towards Gippsland in this.
And I would lean the other way. I think Bendigo are just going to be too strong. Just looking forward to seeing. Probably Hugh Byrne is one that we've spoken a little bit about in this podcast, but I've really liked his form the last month or so, so hopefully he can continue it.
Western Jets and Geelong in Williamstown. The Jets, yeah, couldn't take it up to Sandy in the end. Geelong, pretty disappointing against the Rebels on the weekend. Geelong, you would have to say, just with overall talent?
Nah, I'm going to say that the Jets are going to get up in this one. I've really liked when I've watched them, obviously both coming off a disappointing loss. But, yeah, I would love to see the likes of Massimo Razzo and Jake Smith, if he returns, get back for the Jets to get up.
We're pretty split this week. I don't reckon we've been this split. And Jonty's up by one. We've been even for the last 2 weeks in our tips. We always split teams, but we end up always ending up on the same result. So last game of the round, Murray and Calder in Wangaratta. Calder, geez, they've gone to Mildura and now they're going to Wangaratta in the space of, what, two, 3 or 4 weeks. So that's tough for them, but it's also tough for the country teams who do that every second week. So Metro team is experiencing that. Yeah, I'd have to go with Calder on this one. Murray, I've put my faith in them, but they just haven't performed as well as what I've hoped, so I'd lean with Calder.
Yeah, and an old back Calder as well. So just moving on to the tipping results, I lead Nathan at the moment 104 to 103. Nathan, however, is leading the boys 55 to 50. A good chance for me to catch up with some split tips, like you said, this week. And I'm leading the girls 54 to 48. Just before we go, just worth touching on a few players who have played VFL from the talent league in the last couple of weeks. So we've seen Harley Reid obviously did it earlier in the season, and we will see him again later in the season. But Michael Corrali also for Essendon is starting to find some really good form. Harvey Johnston for the Sandringham Zebras kicked a goal on the weekend. Kynan Brown got a chance for Casey in a 1-point loss to Williamstown. Jake Smith was playing for Williamstown, so he got an opportunity playing off half forward. Luke Lloyd playing for Frankston as well. So there are some of the players who have played some VFL footy, and it is good to see them get that opportunity against senior bodies. Another one, Jack Chubb from the Northern Knights, has played for the Bullants up forward. Obviously, been a bit difficult with the way the Bullants season's gone, but it's still good to see him get the opportunity.
For sure. Well, that wraps it up for this week. Next week's podcast, it will just be on the boys this next week. There is no other footy going on, so round 15 for the boys. The girls do not come back, so the girls talent league, sorry, they don't come back until the wrong fixture. They don't come back until the 25th of August, so they're still a couple of weeks away, but Vic Metro and Vic Country girls play on the 12th of August, so still a bit to go until then. But just the boys next week. Thank you all for watching. We have a power rankings video coming out on Monday at 7 o'clock. It'll be premiering then on video and audio, so first time we've done it, and it was interesting to see. It was interesting seeing our top 20 each. It is not a combined top 20, so make sure to stay tuned for that on Monday if you've listened this far. So thank you all for watching. Make sure to check out our socials as usual, and until then, we'll see you in the next episode.